Stop whispering. Welcome to our final Downton Abbey podcast. My name is Lord Jack.
And I'm Lady Cynthia, and this will be the last time I'm going to say Lady Cynthia.
Lady Cynthia, yeah, because, well, it's not the last time we're podcasting, because lucky for us and lucky for you.
I'm so excited.
We're doing Dancing with the Stars. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, because, again, as people know, my background in dancing is pretty, you know, they're doing a remake of Dirty Dancing, and they're filming it here in North Carolina.
Really?
Yep. They're looking for 900 extras.
Well, what the hell? Why didn't you? Oh, I just said a bad word.
That's all right. It's what?
Why didn't you tell me? I would have totally. When can you audition?
I just heard it on the radio yesterday. I go, really?
Excuse me. This is today. You didn't tell me yet?
I was under.
If it was someone called, okay. If somebody was doing a remake of Lost, and I heard on the radio that they were looking for 900 extras, I would find you,
okay.
Search you, okay. And call.
First, I tried to be an extra on Lost, and that was like trying to. It was easier to walk on the set.
You're missing the point.
Than be an extra on Lost.
Excuse me. You're missing the point.
I could just walk.
About you.
I should have just walked in where they were filming and stood in the background going.
It's not about you.
Waiting. No, but they're doing nine. I think it's probably in Wilmington. They're probably filming it.
And?
But 900 extras. But are they going to put Baby in the Corner again? Really?
I'm sorry. You can't remake that
one. Do you want to remake?
It's like Patrick Swayze. No, can't do it.
No. In fact, I was up for the part and said, no, I will not dishonor Patrick Swayze by doing this. Because my extensive background in dancing is pretty extensive.
Honey, if you looked at anything like Patrick Swayze did back then and danced like that, you would never leave the bedroom.
Never leave the bedroom. There we go. Oh, Carson would be happy with that one. Anyway, this is the final episode of Downton Abbey. It's going to be a long recap. Like 12 pages here.
Really? Good for you. Good job.
Stuff. So,
and I heard we got five phone calls.
Five phone calls, an email. Most of the feedback I saw has been positive. I haven't heard anything. I haven't listened to the calls yet.
Right.
I just saw there were calls.
I'm kind of bummed it's warm today, because what I was going to do is I was wearing my Downton Abbey shirt today,
right.
That my daughter got me. It
mm-hmm.
says
yeah.
Sundays are for Downton.
Downton Abbey.
Number two, I was going to make a hot tea with my Downton Abbey teapot and cups.
Well, couldn't you have made a hot tea and just let it cool off?
Not the same. You know, you can't drink it.
Right.
And then I was going to bring my little thank you notes from Downton Abbey and my ornaments and everything that I have, apron, all the different things I have of Downton Abbey.
You handled it pretty well, the finale. You've seen it, what, three times now? Four times? Maybe more?
Yeah, maybe more.
All right.
But it's still, I'm going to do a rewatch this summer when all the shows are gone. I'm going to watch from the beginning all the way through. I told you that. I was going to do like a...
We've been talking about doing another podcast, only if I can catch up. I'm going to tell what podcast is in case I don't catch up.
Right.
But only if I can catch up on the... I've seen... A lot of the episodes,
pieces
of them. I started watching it, and I kind of veered off on it. But it's a popular show on a certain night.
Oh, and that's the reason why you like it. You just couldn't stick with it with me because you just think, I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, there's never not a single show.
Really?
I loved, and then I wanted you to watch it that you stuck with.
You want
to
go? You want to go with that?
Yeah.
You want to go with that? I can't think of one.
Exactly.
Oh, your home improvement shows.
That's not the same.
I watch them.
No.
I watch them.
No, it's not the same.
Anyway, we're not here to bicker and fight because people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear how you're just always complaining.
And fighting?
They don't want to hear how you're always complaining. They want to hear the recap. And they want to hear about podcasts like this one.
Ooh, that was a good segue.
You can go to the iTunes under the whole enchilada feed and find Leftovers, Lost, Survivor.
Binge watching, sorry.
Not Ben watch. Hey, Ben, are you watching something?
Amazing Race.
I was watching, but I stopped because these people want me to binge watch. I'm just Ben, and I just watch a little bit.
Oh,
so anyway, you got The Walking Dead, Sports Talk,
Game of Thrones
is coming back. Married Man is returning and is returning next week.
Ooh.
Without the Taff. So should be fine, and we'll be good to go. But I'm going to start the recap. Oh,
okay.
And if you want to help us, you go to Patreon. Last Jay and Jack, and help us there if you like. This starts out with Robert walking the grandkids, and he has like 50 nannies helping him out.
Yes.
So we watched our grandson today, and our grandson never stops.
Never.
Never stops. He just
never.
Never stops. He's on the go, 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 go,
yes.
go. And like we're complaining, but our parents and family watched our three kids.
All three.
All three kids.
At one point.
But,
at one time.
But to be fair, one was Jay, and one was Kayla.
Right. But Heather.
They never move. Heather was always on the go.
Yes.
So.
But Kayla was always into things.
Yeah.
And Jay was a good big brother, so he kind of kept
Jay
under control.
Jay just sat there.
And Jay was almost five.
Yeah, Jay was.
When the first one came along.
He was. Back then, he followed the rules.
Oh, he always followed the rules. He was a good kid.
But anyway, so I'm exhausted today because that kid never stops.
And but, a good exhaust, though.
But I wouldn't give it up.
Oh, gosh, no.
No, it's, I look forward to it.
Every week. It's our favorite thing we do.
I was feeling under the weather, and I got myself back in shape just so
you
could.
All right, because we said, hey, you got to get.
But Robert
better.
Has 50 nannies walking.
Yes.
So finally, the whole family's walking. It's a morning stroll. It's really nice. I like how they really showed the Abbey this season.
Absolutely.
They're talking about Edith and her future and Marigold. Well, maybe, you know, I'm going to live in London. I'll just be a, Robin. Drawing a blank on the term that she uses.
Spinster.
She's going to be her mom, Rosamond.
Right.
Now I finally, okay, Rosamond wasn't her mom, but I think Rosamond identified with Edith.
Yes, thank you.
So, okay, but it would have been more shocking if that would have happened.
I know, everybody's now yelling at the whatever they're listening to because they're like, hello, Jack. Yes, that's been the premise the whole time. The relatability of the two.
Well, I like to think outside the box and think, okay, we're going to take some chances.
It did. I think it would make sense if you had it. It just didn't make sense.
It made perfect sense. Henry's smoking a cigar. I'm sorry,
a cigarette.
Mary walks up. Hi, darling. And he's just got that stare. Most of this final episode, Henry was called Henry the Stare. He's just staring off into space.
Well, I think they were trying to show that he was trying to think of new things he could do. What's going on? You know, he's married someone quite rich and powerful. And he's just, you know, he's not a poor man, but, you know, he needs to bring himself up to the level that Mary is.
And I thought it was a nice scene. They're sitting on this bridge, and this little thing on the bridge has some moss on it. I said, can we just get a power washer and get this moss off? The whole time I'm watching the scene, I should be watching the scene for the dialogue, but I'm watching going, that moss is still there. Just scrape it off.
Really? I don't even know what you're talking about.
There was some moss on the...
Your brain is just so different.
Anyway, and then Henry, he's no longer having fun driving. He doesn't blame himself.
No.
But he's for Charlie's death, but he's no longer... And Mary says, as well, you shouldn't.
Exactly.
But, you know, they have a nice talk. Thomas thanks Andy. He comes in, he sees Andy. You got Andy, Baxter, and Anna there, and he thanks him for saving his life.
Yeah.
And he's sincere.
He is. I thought this was a great scene.
It was a great scene, and they were very... You know, they didn't say, well, you jerk. And, you know, they were just very understanding.
Right.
I think Baxter changed the whole dynamic of Thomas.
You're probably right, because I think it would have been totally different if what's her
face. The actress that left the show.
O'Brien, who played O'Brien.
O'Brien didn't want to leave the show.
If she stayed.
Does Thomas get this great send-off that we see at the end?
That's a great question. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, because I think that they would have kept the antagonistic.
I would agree.
I think they
had, because those two were really great together. I thought,
because Baxter was the exact opposite of O'Brien.
Yeah.
She was very positive, very, hey, it's okay. She had a second chance at life,
right?
And I think that was this whole episode for her was about, you know. And then now Thomas realized, I have a second chance.
Right.
I have a, you know, I can be the same old bitter guy, or I can move on and be something.
Well, being bitter and way he was going wasn't working.
No, it wasn't. So anyway, you got Isabel and Violet talk, and I always like their talks.
I do, too.
It's great. I'm glad that's the way they ended the show. But anyway, about a note she's received from Amelia.
Yes.
Amelia. And so Amelia's become the person that she goes out on this. She's the one that goes out as the one everybody hates, I would think. Anybody else?
Dad and his son.
Larry, but we already hated Larry.
Right. Well, I don't really hate him.
But they made Amelia the bad person.
Right.
They
were supposed to do something. And
Larry
she got,
was a chump, but, you know.
Yeah, they were supposed to do something. Then she got a letter from Amelia saying, hey, don't come by.
We don't need you anymore. We don't need you to babysit. We're done. And the family is having drinks outside the Abbey, which I thought was really, they're all dressed up. They're all dressed up to they're just dressed up all fancy. But they're outside the Abbey having drinks. I go, I would like to go out there and have drinks outside the Abbey. I don't know if I'd have to dress up like that, but if that was part of the deal.
You would.
I would do it.
Yeah. But I'd like to dress up.
I said, this is just a nice scene. It's just, again, they're really the final season, they really pushed.
I thought this last episode was awesome. Some people might think it was too, I don't know, roses and sunshine and rainbows, but I really liked
most
it.
Most of the feedback we got that I've seen on Facebook and I've seen on Twitter and stuff like that, not the calls, I don't know about the calls, was all that people were happy about it. Henry is going to drive Edith to London. He's going to drive Edith to London. Padmore tells Daisy she could do worse than Andy. You know,
and
Daisy.
They're all pushing the Andy thing on her.
Yeah, and again, I don't think Daisy likes to be pushed, but I think they can see that, you know, Daisy.
Well, it's been a while since her husband William died, or if it really was her husband, because it was a 4-hour marriage. But you know, she never really, I mean, I don't know. I guess she did love William in a way. But
I think she cared for William, but right. She, again, I think, well, Pat Moore says later on, I'll get to that when we get to that. But anyway, Robert, they're having lunch, and Robert wants Cora to get out of the meeting at the hospital because they're going to go see Granny, Grandmama. Yes. And she goes, no, I can't get out of it. And Robert is just
typical.
He's just,
you know, 50s and 60s men who don't, well, they want I know, but it's still the same.
Lord Grantham wants his woman to be home by his side.
The old school where you're not allowed, you have to be there for
you're June Cleaver.
Beck and call
you're
for
June
your man.
Cleaver.
Right. That would never happen in this household.
You're Harriet Nelson. Oh, we know that. You're Harriet Nelson. And the young people at home going, June Cleaver, Harriet Nelson. Who are these people? Andy and Pat Moore talk about Daisy. She does. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Kick back. Carson spills some wine. Oh, I'm sorry, my lord.
Yeah, he has a little bit of some shakes going on.
Some shakes. And, yeah. Of course, Robert goes, that's okay. You can clean it up later. But then Andy talks about Pat Moore. She goes, oh, she doesn't like me. And, you know, has she ever talked about me? And, you know, Pat Moore's like going, well, she has, but not in a positive way. But she's trying to
be nice.
She's trying to be nice. And yeah. I think Andy's getting the hint that, Daisy just doesn't have it for me.
She's like those typical girls. She's not interested when they're interested in her.
Yeah. Thomas has found a job. Carson tells him he deserves it.
Yeah.
And so it was very positive from Carson. Yeah. And even Carson has changed his tune towards...
Somewhat, yes.
And I think that had to do that to make the ending work the way it did.
I agree.
When we get to the ending. Edith comes to talk to Spratt. Dinker listens at the door.
Ah, Dinker.
You won't be sit next to each other.
But not because then
London,
I go right back to the caterpillar of
not,
Alice in Wonderland.
Who are you? But not... But, we're not, okay. But she wants to give him a full page, expand his column to a full page.
Isn't that weird, though, that this guy, if you think about it, in that era, really didn't live. Am I right? He pretty much just sat in that house and lived for his...
But he's with Violet, and he's seen things. He's been around.
But not traveled.
Maybe he's been in other
not
places.
Not been in relationships.
Okay, this was a fairy tale ending for
okay,
him.
Okay, thank you.
They gave Spratt, they go, all right, Spratt, we're going to give you a bone. This guy's doing a podcast making fun of the way you talk. So we're going to give you a bone.
I just thought that was so bizarre. I just didn't understand how
but
someone...
But, of course, well, they had to do something to make Dinker look... Dinker came off looking the second worst.
Yeah, I always disregard Dinker.
But she's listening to the door and the maid walks by. She goes, I'm trying to listen. Stop making so much noise. Let's see. The headmaster offers Mosley a job
and a place to live.
And a cottage. He's walking with the... Baxter. And
of course, Baxter tells, because he didn't know what to do, poor Mosley.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, yes, he'll think about it.
He'll think about it. And he goes, oh, okay, all right. Okay, all right.
It's nice to see him get stuff.
Yeah. Let's see. Henry and Edith drive to London, and they're talking back and forth about Mary. Don't tell Mary this, because he tells her, your Mary is not my Mary.
And, you know, that's almost the same thing that Matthew said about her, too. Very similar.
There's a different Mary. There's Mary in public. That she has this image, and she, especially around Edith, she has this image. But there's a Mary behind the scenes that we've seen, you know, with Anna, we've seen with Bates, we've seen with Carson, Matthew, Henry. That she has a heart, and even Thomas
when she went and go visit him after.
So she's not the, and then Carson always saw it too, but Mrs. Hughes never saw it.
No.
So anyway.
You don't know your notes. You're
not
reading.
Going to the next page. Oh. Andy tells, talks with Daisy. She kind of just brushes him off. You want to go for a walk? I might be going to the farm. I don't know. But not with you. I might be going. I don't know. You knew they were going to hook up at the end.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Okay. I forgot. Great one knows everything.
I knew it all. Carson has the shakes. Hughes witnesses it.
Yes.
She's like, well, you couldn't see what I was doing, but I was doing Mrs. Hughes' impression. Mary Robert visit Violet. Because she says, oh, you forgot I was, you know, basically, it's been so long. And, and she's trying to be, and I think Mary said, don't be cranky. Cranky Grandmama or whatever.
Cranky.
Cranky.
No, right?
Well, she said something about it. I didn't write it down. The long episode. They talk about Edith and Bertie, and Violet says something that rings a bell. And clicks something.
I think it makes
Mary
think
head
about saying, something.
You know, maybe I was a little, I need to make this right.
Right.
I was wrong. I need to make this right. At least try. Mrs. Hughes talks to Carson about his shaking.
He tells him about it. You know, he said they call it the palsy, right?
We're not there yet. Nope. Not there yet.
But he said that his father had it, right?
We're not there yet.
Oh, my
Not there.
Then what did I talk about Miss Hughes about? Get to the point.
I'm just wrote that down. But,
okay.
Mosley walks in and tells Mosley walks in and tells Carson, "Oh, that's just great. You're leaving."
And then of course Mrs. Thomas Hughes is leaving. Softens the whole thing and lets him know we're so, you know, good for you.
Yeah, because Mosley's looking, going, "What did I do? I mean, I can come work here on holidays and
right,
stuff
or
like
need
that.
Some help, you know, some big dinners.
Oh,
and
great! I can't do my job anymore, and you're leaving." Whereas before, he wouldn't have cared if Thomas left or Mosley left. Isabel and Lord Merton talk. He tells her he has
anemia.
Anemia.
It's a proxy. I never heard of it before.
Anemia, but it's the worst one.
Right.
And so
he has a short amount of
time.
Die. He's going
to
die.
He goes, he tells her he'd like to have been married to her.
Right.
And I thought it was a very nice scene.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, maybe it made her think of some things.
Well, in fact, she did look like, I wish we would have gotten married. It was great acting on. She didn't say anything,
right.
But her facial expression
was
absolutely perfect.
Right.
His was sincere.
Right.
So great acting on both of you guys.
And it's nice
kudos
to see,
to you
know, that even older people can fall in love.
Yeah, there you go. Henry and Edith are at her flat. She gets an invite from Rosamond to go to the Ritz.
Yes.
Oh, the Ritz.
Putting on the Ritz.
And then Henry talks to Edith about his future. I got to find something because all I'm doing right now is staring off into space. And people
and
are going to
and being a gigolo and living off of
and
Mary.
People are going to start wondering, why is this guy just staring off into space? He's just got to do more than that.
It's my last favorite episode.
Anna opens up a box at the Cool Tables.
And it is a
massive
blow
hair dryer. I didn't realize I had him back then.
1925, that makes sense.
27, was it? 26.
No, 25, I thought.
Was it 25? But it was a big hairdryer. But I didn't realize they had the hand hairdryers. I thought they didn't come out to like the 80s or something.
I didn't realize when they brought out that Kroner that one time that came out then. I thought it came out later, too.
People are wondering, like, you know, my dancing knowledge is probably the same as my hair knowledge. But at one point, I had hair, so.
That's right. And you used a blow dryer.
I used to use a blow dryer all the time.
All the time.
Now just.
You don't even use it.
I don't even use a towel. I just get out of the.
Aw, poor little fella.
But I was shocked to see the hair dryer. And then Daisy's talking about, well, what does it do? I haven't changed my hair in 30 years.
Blah, blah, blah. 30 years. She's not that old.
It was a while. Thomas asked Carson if he can leave on Sunday. That would be fine. Go ahead. Leave. And then Bates is about ready to say something, and Anna stops him, only if it's going to be something nice.
Yes, I thought that was cute.
And Bates stopped.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
So I think he was going to say something snarky.
Yes, you're right.
But he didn't. So I think that was fine that Bates didn't say anything snorky.
True.
Rosamond and Edith enter the Ritz as they walk to the table. Uh-oh. Birdie is there.
Birdie.
Are you leaving, Rosamond? I think I should leave.
So it was all set up.
Set up. Mary's the one that
Mary's
told Birdie
one.
That Edith was going to be. How'd you know I was going to be in London?
Right.
Well, your job's here. Your magazine's here. You're in London all the time. You have a flat here.
I was glad. That was the part, I think, when I was like, yes. They're going to make happy.
At least somebody's going to be happy.
Someone's going to be happy.
But you still have the mother issue.
I know, but still, you're just like, yes. We didn't know that yet, though.
Birdie tells her he can't live without you. Well, you've been doing fine so far on your own.
I thought she had some great things with him. Back to him.
She was,
good point.
She was forceful, but again, it was still her fault that he left.
True.
I mean, I'm not defending him, but he's you know, I can't live without you. I need you back. I want you back. So he says, and she says, well, if we agree, what are you going to tell your mother? Are you going to tell your mother the truth about Marigold? Well, maybe not. And he goes, well, it's, you know, Anna knows, Bates knows. She's going along.
Basically, she's saying, you know, eventually it's going to come
gonna
out.
It's going to get out, and you should be honest.
And, you know, and he was so funny about, so firmed about her not being honest with him. But yet, it's okay that he could lie to his mother.
Because I think he's afraid of his mom.
Okay.
I don't think he wants to deal with his mom. Sometimes you don't want to deal with people, and you're going to hope, well, maybe it won't get out.
All right.
Maybe she'll get hit by a truck.
I don't know,
the wedding.
It's like a double negative or something. It just seemed.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. Anyway, Thomas tells Baxter he might try to be someone else when he starts his new position.
And I think that's a good idea.
But he gives her some good advice. He goes, leave your past behind.
Yep.
Just, you know, it's your
Why
past.
Why not reinvent yourself?
Reinvent yourself.
They don't know your past.
They don't know your past.
Nope.
Reinvent yourself. And he goes, take, and she goes, that's good advice. Take that as my, you know,
as my parting gift.
My parting gift. Robert tells Cora the news about Edith, but I like it first. She goes, is she pregnant again? Is she defecting? Or she's a long list of bad things she was expecting from Edith. I go, really, has Edith been that bad that you would expect bad stuff from Edith happening?
Oh, Yes.
Really?
Well, she got left at the altar.
Well, that wasn't her fault.
Still, she then was got pregnant with the guy. Then he died.
Yeah.
So,
well, she didn't kill Michael Gregson.
Then she was going to be engaged, and then he left her. So, come on.
Things happen. I did like that was a funny scene, and Robert is like going, you know, Corey goes, well, I have to go to the hospital. We're going to do this for Edith. Edith's going to be happy. All right, Robert, don't give me the Gettysburg Address. And Robert's like, what?
Robert is not happy.
Robert's like,
well.
Okay, I'm British. I don't care about the Gettysburg Address.
She said,
don't give me the Gettysburg Address.
Oh.
84 and 7 years ago.
I had to memorize that for eighth or ninth grade.
I'm sorry. Let's see. Robert feels, but he feels he's in competition with the hospital.
Yes.
Oh, well. Carson tells Thomas, you should say your goodbyes to your lordship because he will be gone. You'll be gone.
Gone before he gets back.
He gets back. Yes. Ooh, okay.
But I liked that. I thought that was a great scene. You know, he came, as Thomas was saying, I came here as a boy.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
Well, then wrap up. Let's go.
We're just not there yet. This is almost a 2-hour episode.
You just add too much other stuff.
All right. Violet and Isabel talk about Lord Merton. Violet says, you're in love with him. And then she asks, well, were you ever in love with him? I don't tell my dirty little secrets. I don't air my laundry.
Yes.
I don't put it out there for
everyone. Again, I'm going to miss those scenes together, two actors. They're great together.
They are great together. Baxter tells Mosley she's putting her past behind her.
And she's not going to let it go. She's not going to bother her anymore. She's
Mosley
done.
Mosley goes, okay, maybe we have a future.
Maybe he didn't say that.
Maybe now. Yeah. Baxter tells Thomas he'd... Oh, I'm sorry. Not Baxter. Bates tells Thomas he'd rather part...
As friends and enemies.
Because they say, what do you say, Mr. Bates? What do you say, Mr. Bates?
I thought that was a good scene. God, if you think back to the, you know, season one and season two, all the crap that Thomas and O'Brien did to him.
Bates is the bigger man here.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be like that. Would you?
Again, I think it has to do that. It has to work that way for how the ending happened.
Yeah, I know. But in life, real life, I don't think I could do that. All the stuff he did to him? There's no way.
I'd be bitter.
Yeah.
I might front it, but behind
the
scenes.
No, you're better than I might. People would know my feelings. You're better at hiding in them
than I am. Thomas says his goodbye to Corin Robertson that you said. Okay, go ahead and say the scene.
I like when he says, I came here as a boy, and I'm leaving as a man. So I thought that was a good part. Good scene. Good. I just like that whole. And then they were leaving. And then your little prediction that you said that he was going to work for that one person was wrong.
Yeah, it was wrong.
What were you? You were what?
Edith is looking into, I have no, it says she's such a frump. Oh, not Edith. Daisy is looking into a pan. I wrote down Edith. That's why it didn't make sense. She's looking at a pan.
It made it look really weird looking. Yeah.
The pan was weird.
I know,
but
anyway.
It's not a mirror, you know.
Yes.
And Patmore tells Daisy, you look down on anyone who pays attention to you. If they pay attention to you, you don't like them.
Yeah.
If they don't pay attention,
young girl.
You like them.
Well, not typical, but, you know, mostly young girls are like that. They're frickled.
Robert and Corey visit Bertie's place. They're quite impressed.
Yes.
It's funny because they live in the Abbey. They've been to other places. They've been to Buckingham Palace, right?
Ah, good point.
So is it that big a deal? Or are they just thinking, wow, Edith is going to be...
He just was, you know, bursting with pride. I think he never thought his Edith. At one point, did they say that, well, at least she'll be around to take care of us at our old age.
Right.
That was their expectations of Edith.
Robert and Cora visit Bertie's place. I already said that. They seem very impressed. Said that they meet Bertie's mom.
Ooh.
Mm. At first, I'm thinking, oh, this is the Ice Queen.
Yes.
Tom and Henry, Mary are having dinner. Henry talks about his future again, about how he's done with racing, and then Mary tells Carson's having the shakes. He's having problems, and they're all concerned. And Mary goes, Carson, you need to go downstairs and get some rest. Go downstairs, get some rest. They're all worried. Carson tells Hughes what he has, his
this
father
is where
had.
Said his grandfather's had father it, had. His father, yeah, and it's
they
the
call it the palsy.
The palsy.
He's got the shakes. He goes, I thought I was going to avoid it, but now it's here.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do. Mary tells Carson she's concerned. Tom and Henry talk. They talk about a local business.
Yes. Which I would have never thought the two of them together, but it made sense.
I'm not shocked by it because they've been friends throughout this whole thing. And they have a love. They've always talked about their love of what?
Cars.
There you go. So I don't know why it's such a shocker to you. Cora and Edith, Robert, Bertie, and his mom talk. It's kind of a, you know.
Not a very nice conversation.
Well, you know, she's talking about different things.
She's rude.
It's Mrs. Philemon. Philemon, is that her name? Anyway, Bertie's mom did not approve of Cousin Peter's lifestyle.
Yes.
And his visits to Tangier.
Yes.
Bertie puts her down, though. Puts her his foot down.
Well, because his cousin was important to him. He was very fond of him.
Right.
And had a lot of respect for him. And he wasn't going to allow his mother to talk bad of him. Especially, you never talk ill of the dead.
And I like the fact that Bertie actually, we see, does have some backbone.
Yes, because so I would have thought that.
Because at this point, I'm thinking, okay, is she going to push? Is this going to be the one that pushes Edith out the door? Because
right.
Bertie's like, I can't. My mom's tough. I can't deal with her. Isabel tells Merton she wants
him in her life. Right? Is that the one?
Oh, Lord Merton, Isabel, leave Dr. Clarkson's office.
Because she wants to find out really what's going on. She doesn't believe what is being told.
And she goes, I won't leave you. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And then Amelia comes driving up.
Yeah.
Tells, you're not wanted anymore. Leave.
That was really rude.
It was rude. That's why I was saying she's coming across as the bad person. Let's see. Mary wants to go on a walk with Henry, and Henry's telling a story. And they say, I'm the rich guy. You're the rich guy. I'm a guy with no job. He's sitting on the bed with his shoes on. He had his shoes on, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on. Really? Who has their shoes on in bed?
Okay, not everybody's crazy.
Well, maybe because you're not supposed to be there. Go get a job. Robert speaks with Edith. They're still overlooking the Bertie says the best view in the
right.
It was quite a view.
Oh God, yeah.
If you want to invite me, if you want to invite me to that place, the castle,
you'll go.
I'll go.
Good.
I'll go and take a view. Talks to him about Marigold, and Robert doesn't want. What if the truth gets out? Keep it a secret. Don't ruin it.
He doesn't want.
We're finally getting rid of you.
No, I think he's, I don't agree with him, but I think he's just, with Edith's luck, he's afraid that it's going to, again, everything's going to fall apart.
Of all things to fall apart, this is the one that should have fallen apart.
True.
I mean, Gregson dying, getting killed.
The baby.
But the baby situation was, but anyway, the guy leaving, I can't remember the guy's name, but the older guy that left her at the altar, I mean, of all things that could have happened, this is the one that should have broke it, especially back in the 20s. Thomas says goodbye to the cool kids. He's a kind of emotional scene, and they're all kind of happy for him because he's moving on. Mary walks in, and George says, goodbye, Mr. Barrow.
I know, it was so cute.
And, they say goodbye, and mostly says,
good luck.
Good luck, and everyone's saying goodbye. Addison says something nice to him, and Thomas says, and then this point where Thomas says to George, we'll always be friends.
Yeah.
And this is where I go, Thomas is to George what Carson was to Mary.
Ah, I never thought of it that way.
So there you go, and it's going to
get full circle.
Go the circle of life, because, Carson, even though people couldn't, not that George is a problem, but, no one could stand Mary, obviously.
Right.
But Carson always saw the good in him. George sees the good in Thomas.
Thomas sees the good in George.
No, well, but it's a circle of life. Yeah. Anyway. Edith tells Bertie's mom, he comes in, I'll tell you something.
No, don't do it, Edith.
You may want to sit down for this one. Well, tell me. Let's have the truth. Thomas arrives at the new place. Not a big staff. I'm like, oh, Thomas. So this is when I knew something was going to happen with Thomas.
No, you didn't.
Can I finish my story here? I knew something was going to happen with Thomas because they kept going back to Thomas. Usually in a show where you're done with the character, they leave, they say goodbye, that's it.
And you're familiar with this because you're a writer?
As a writer, I could tell you.
What's this mean?
That's end scene.
Oh, end scene, okay.
End scene. As a writer, I do that all the time. As a writer.
Yes, I know. Every time you do that.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I started doing it with Jay in the room, so he got a kick out of it. So, you got to keep doing what you got to do. But no, I knew he was coming back. So there,
I hate when you're like this.
Edith tells
how about you people out there? Doesn't it irritate you?
It probably does, but it's the last Downton Abbey, so it doesn't matter. I was right. Daisy visits Mr. Mason, and Andy's working. Andy's working on
this. Yeah, he's doing the nails. He's just not even be bothered.
Andy's ignoring Daisy, and she's like,
you're doing a perfect look of her. I wish people could see it. It's perfect.
She always gives that look like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you could see it, it was spot on.
Yes, it was. I have to give you that credit.
There you go. You hate doing that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Mason tells Daisy, because he's going back. Hey,
and then another person goes on and says, you could do worse than Andy.
And she goes, people keep telling me that.
I know. But you know what? I'm the type of person, if people keep telling me someone's good for me, I'm going to go the opposite. Because I got to prove them wrong.
Exactly. You always do the – if I tell you something,
you will always do the opposite. I always do opposite.
Yeah, even though I can spell – 2 plus 2 is 4, you'll go, it's 8.
Yep. I don't know what it is.
Because you'll do the exact, you don't like to be told what to do. I have to kind of let you find your own way.
Yes, you do.
Find your own way.
But that's why we've been together for 30 years. We get along absolutely fabulously because you let me be me, and I need someone to let me be me.
And you let me be you, so.
Well, first of all, nobody would live with you. You're not that easy to live with.
I'm an angel.
Okay.
I'm an angel.
You remind me of our youngest. She used to put a little halo above her head.
Angel daddy. Angel daddy. Let's see. Now you threw me all off on that. I said, oh, Birdie talks with his mom. I guess you know. Did you know? I knew. You know she knows. You knew the whole thing? Really? And she was basically saying, she's not good enough. She has to go. This is not going to work out. She's going to. I'm like, all right, Birdie, stand your ground. Stand your ground, Birdie. He goes,
yeah, but I wasn't hopeful. No. Were you?
I figured at this point,
really?
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
Because he stood up to his mom on the
Okay.
If he was standing up for his cousin, why wouldn't you stand up for the woman you love?
Good point. Look how loving you are. So you would stand up for the woman you love?
I would have to. I've done it several times.
Yes, you have.
It's an ordeal, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. But no, that's why they had that scene to show that Birdie did have a backbone. I just said it 2 minutes ago.
He just did his end scene again.
Let's see. She tells Edith she's damaged goods, but Birdie says, nope. Isabel tries to visit Lord Merton,
but they won't let him.
Amelia won't even let her
in the door. I was just like, oh my gosh, how rude.
I mean, it is rude.
Very rude.
Not even let her in the house. Tom Henry talk about finding a location with the kids there. And they're all kids are having fun, then they walk out of there. But don't let Mary know. Are you sure? No, we don't want Mary to know. Keep it a secret.
Not yet, but I thought it was cute how, he's a stepdad, but yet he put him on his shoulder.
Yeah.
It's the whole love, and I thought it was a good scene.
George was working.
Yeah.
And Sibby said, me too. Violet and Isabel talk. Danker hints at something is going on with Mr. Spratt.
Yes, but,
Isabel tells Violet what happened with Amelia.
Right.
And she's not happy.
No.
But you don't.
So you know something's going to happen. Yeah, you know Violet's going to get
you
involved.
Don't mess with Violet.
No, you do not mess with Violet.
Nope, 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 nope.
It's like not messing with your mom.
No, 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 no. Mosley tells Carson he's going to accept the cottage job.
Yep. The teaching job and live in the cottage.
Live in the cottage. I'm sorry. Accept the cottage and the job.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Then Mr. Mosley said, he says, are you all right, Mr.? Why wouldn't I be all right?
I know.
So I'm feeling bad. Edith tells Birdie she had to tell his mother the truth, even if it meant, even if it wasn't really necessary.
Because, she says she's going to be playing with, the
I'm sorry. Robert asked if it was really necessary.
Yeah.
Because they're all talking. And
I think she's right. It is necessary. Again, he proved that point to her. If she would have been the truthful at the beginning, maybe they wouldn't have, had that break for
a while.
We
wouldn't have this whole scene, but again, it leads for drama. Thomas seems bored with his job. He's sitting there with the two people eating, and he has to blow out the can.
How do you not know? He went for an interview.
Well, he didn't have he didn't have a choice.
Okay.
He had to leave. He was told to leave. They're having dinner at the palace. Birdie's mom steps up to make a toast. Then she sits down before she finishes the whole toast.
Which is supposed to be
Birdie stands up, and then Robert tells her, make it or lose him forever.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. So Robert was stern, say, look, hey, my Edith has had like three, this is it. Please get up and make the toast. You have to read between the lines. That was what Robert was saying.
Okay.
Come on, man. Help me out. Daisy and Patmore talk about Andy. More stuff back and forth. Birdie's mom tells Robert, Cora, and Edith that how could she turn down someone who is so honest and compliant and has so truthful as Edith, that she's perfect.
Right.
And then
they were both, Robert and Lady Grantham, were just like, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For
thank
noticing
you.
That.
Thank you for noticing. And then he goes, and Birdie goes, oh, come on. Give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. And then they kiss and it's like, Edith is happy.
Yes, finally.
Edith. Woo, Edith.
Still got to wait for the wedding, though. You never know.
Yeah, there's still plenty of time left for something to happen. A bomb could have dropped on the house or something. Violet and Isabel forced their way into Lord Merton's house.
That was perfect.
Amelia is not happy. Lord Merton finds it. Are there people down here? And he finds out what they have denied her entry. Lord Merton says to Larry, you are my son. I love you, but I don't like you.
Yes. I've done that to my kids sometimes when they're just like, I love you very much, but at this moment I'm not really crazy about you.
He said, I don't like you.
Yes.
And he meant it. He's been held prison. Isabel tells them she plans to marry Lord Merton. He goes, really? And he goes, you're going to live with me? Father. And Amelia goes, and then Edith Violet kind of gets in Amelia's face, and Amelia back down.
Yes.
She's just all talk. She's like the people now.
And he chose her, Isabel.
Yeah, but well, he loved her anyway.
Yeah.
He
was. I thought it was cute. I loved it all.
He was heartbroken.
I mean, when you think about the first season and the way Violet felt about Isabel and this and that, I mean, just to see where they're at, you know, in the full circle. Again, another a great conclusion of where their friendship and how it came together, and it was great.
I mean, there was.
And I think that turning point was when Violet got really sick. I think it was season five, maybe, or four-ish.
Because they started.
Yeah, it was four.
It was so four.
When Violet got really sick, and then, you know, Isabel took such great care of her, and that was really when everything changed.
Yeah.
Between there, I think the relationship
really
changed.
Because there's really no reason for Isabel to have been nice to Violet.
No.
But I think she saw something in Violet, and then it was just, Violet's character, we find out some of her backstory.
Right.
That, like, she wasn't prim and proper the whole time. That she had, you know, like everyone, she had some skeletons, and I think they clicked and had an understanding. And I think they had, you know, they're two women pretty much the same age.
Right.
Anyway, I like how they turned out.
I did too.
I love them together, and it's
like
great.
I said, really great actors, and hope I could see them again in another not necessarily a TV show, but some kind of show. I thought they were perfect for each other. Perfect acting buddies.
Let's see, you got Robert and Cor and Edith return back to the Abbey. Edith and Mary talk. She thanks Mary for, you know, why would you do this? And they give us, you know, we don't have to be best friends, but
we're sisters.
And it's basically the same speech that Edith gave her. And it's true, you know, your family.
Right.
And there's something, obviously, sometimes family just doesn't click.
Right.
But you can see our daughters get along a lot better when they're apart.
Yeah, when I saw them getting, and I made a comment, like, oh, look, it's a Kodak moment. They look at me like I'm crazy. Of course we get along. What are you talking about? We always get along. So
yeah,
it's just one of those things.
It's just one of those things that they'll be better friends away from each other than under the same roof because they're completely different people.
Yes. They're a lot similar, though, too.
Yeah. Daisy tries to talk with Andy, but
Andy won't be bothered now. Now you want him, Daisy.
You don't want me. Don't waste my time. I'm moving on. I'm going to go read a book. Patmore tells Edith they have 3 months. No, she tells Daisy. Patmore tells Daisy. Why do I keep writing Edith?
Edith's going to get married on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so he's got 3 months to plan the wedding. So the next scene is Rose and Atticus return to the Abbey. And I really thought that this whole episode, they just didn't really give Atticus anything to say except kind of cute lines and kind of smile.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, you kind of just, ooh, okay. Ooh. You know, just,
yeah.
They really give, I mean, he's there, but he just had certain things say. Rose is a big deal. Rose's daddy brings but they didn't bring the baby. Baby's 3 months old, and the nanny said no.
Right.
The nanny said no, and, you know, they worried about diseases, the long trip, you know, across the Atlantic. It would be a rough trip for a child, especially an infant.
Right.
Rose goes down, I got to go see the cool kids, and she shows the pictures. I like that she does this.
Yeah, I do too.
I like that she's, you know, she's still grounded. And,
yeah.
And she shows the cool kids all the pictures of her baby. Sprott is writing a column when Dankert walks in. She knows his dirty little secret.
Oh, do you? Why do you have to tell everybody my business?
All right, whatever. Go on.
Dinner time, they talk about Lord Merton and the wedding. Cora tells them about the hospital meeting, and Robert is not happy. Not happy at all. And Rosamund's trying to calm him down.
Well, you know, she's not going to be there for the flowers, but the flowers are already decided. And oh, my gosh. On.
I don't need to pick the flowers, Robert.
You've already been picked.
Come on. Henry and Tom have an errand to run in the morning.
Yes.
Because at this point, Henry is still staring off into space.
Okay, whatever.
Well, he was still staring off into space.
All right.
Poor Thomas he's telling them, you know, he'll be off Sunday.
For the wedding, right.
Well, who's going to serve our food? Blah, blah, blah. Shrimpy arrives.
Yes.
I love his name. Cora talks to Rosamund and Edith. They're talking about different stuff. Let's see. Robert is worried about Carson. Robert and Mary go talk to Carson. And, you know, they said, you know, your offer, he says resignation. I got to resign. I can't do my job. You know, another butler's not going to want me coming and do the, you know, I wouldn't want the butlers.
Right.
The
he's like saying, well, you know, maybe you could stay for this and that.
Be
he's
the overseer,
basically saying,
and he says,
the new butler's not going to want that, but I will find someone for you and I will do what needs to be done.
I won't let this house done. Because he goes, I wouldn't want another butler coming.
No,
I wouldn't
exactly.
want
Exactly. I understand that completely.
That's where Mary wants to stay. Lord Merton takes some new tests.
Yes.
He comes out and he goes, Dickie, what are you doing, Dickie? He goes, well, you know.
You know, I want to try some tests, but I didn't want to tell you in case, you know, if it doesn't really, you know, because I'm starting to feel better. I don't know if it was because you're taking good care of me or what it is, but, you know, I didn't want to make you get your hopes up if it's not. And but I don't know yet what the results are.
And then Robert doesn't like Cora's at the hospital again. And then Rose goes, you know what?
Robert,
cousin
I need
Robert,
you to drive me.
I need to drive. And then he goes, no, got to be Robert. Robert's got to take me to the village. Did you know what she was going to do?
Yes. Okay, I did know that
you.
One.
Tom and Henry show Mary the dealership.
Yes.
And he's like, at first Mary's giving, and I like Tom. He goes, come on, Mary. Don't be snobbish this time. It wouldn't be nice to be married to Mr. Rolls and Mr. Royce.
Yes.
Because they're starting a dealership.
Right.
And at first it's just me selling cars and it could be production and all that stuff. So, but it turns out Mary's proud of him.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Yes.
You're doing something you love.
Right.
And, you know, you'll be you're a hard worker. I'm just adding this all day. But we find out
that she's pregnant.
She's pregnant.
Yes.
Oh. But they can't tell anyone until after the wedding.
Which doesn't want to, I thought that was a good part for, I mean, good scene for Mary. Again, you know, showing her sisterly love. She doesn't want to do anything to, well, Edith's day.
It's Edith's day. I'm not
after
gonna,
that, we'll say something.
Because I think it would have been, again, I think it's smart for the writers because, you know, people, why couldn't Mary just wait? Mary had to.
Yeah.
So it was good. Rose shows Robert what Cora's doing and she leads the meeting. And Robert's like, wow, she's like she was when the hospital. We had the hospital place. So he gets it. He understands what's going on. So everything's good there. Daisy tells Patmore she's has nothing to wear. Her hair is a mess. She's not going to the wedding. No one will care. Let's sit down, serve the food, blah, 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 blah. At this point, are we tired of Daisy?
Yes.
But she goes upstairs to Lady Mary's room.
Well, Miss Patmore goes, okay, go ahead. She says, can I leave early? And I'm thinking of doing something with the hair. And she's like, go. And I just thought that was a weird scene because she's going upstairs and she's going into Lady Mary's room to get the blow dryer.
Would that been possible?
No.
You would have asked. I mean, Anna, can I borrow? She went.
Yeah.
She took something from that belonged to Lady Mary out of her room. I thought that was unusual.
Yes.
I agree with you. We agree 100% there. Let's see. Danker tells Violet about Spratt's new job.
Yes.
Violet doesn't play into her plan. And
nope.
She goes, oh, even had the page. Even had it up to the page. So she tries to get Spratt fired, but ain't going to work. Daisy cuts her hair. Her hair's a mess.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I felt bad for her. Andy walks in, and last, Patmore tells Andy the truth. No wonder you don't have a woman.
Yes.
But to be fair to Andy, this girl's been blowing her off.
Exactly.
Should he have laughed? She did that? No, but I think
you would have laughed.
No, I'm compassionate.
No.
It's the wedding day. Anna's fixes Daisy's hair. Mr. Bates is like, I wish you would sit down.
Right.
I wish you'd sit down. Andy likes the way she looks.
Yes.
Now it's all of a sudden she likes the way. Andy takes a lock of her hair.
I thought that was weird. That was like Creeper.
That's like a serial killer. So we find, I guess if it would have been a season 7, Andy is a serial killer.
Yeah, I just thought that was weird.
Tom and Laura talk at church.
Yes.
Did I say they were going to hook up? Yeah.
They didn't.
But they did.
No.
They did.
No.
Yes, yes.
No.
Dr. Clarkson comes in and tells Lord Merton, I'll go back to where I'm supposed to be in a minute. But there's good news. You're not going to die.
Yes.
All right, Dickie, you're not going to die. So they're all happy.
That was great.
It was a great scene between the two of them. All three of them, actually. Actually, Dr. Clarkson, that was nice because he had the hots for Isabel. Mm-hmm. And he kind of, all right, I lost, but I'm a doctor. This guy's got to live. Thomas arrives. Anna thinks it's really hot in the church.
Yes.
Because she asks him, how's it going? He goes, how are you getting along with the staff? Well, there's not much of a staff.
Yes.
But, it is what it is. Edith walks down the stairs to
Robert.
And
I do not like that thing in front of her head.
You didn't like the thing in front of her head? No.
Didn't like
and I was
the
wondering, what's the thing? The trail?
Yeah, oh, my God. The veil.
The veil is.
It's supposed to be like that.
Shouldn't someone be holding it as you're walking down the stairs? Anyway. Henry asks if Mary and Edith will be best friends now. Well, don't be crazy.
But
we're
sisters.
And we'll do, what we have to do to be along, blah, 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 dee. Let's see. I do like the fact when the priest was giving the thing, he said, any man should show just cause why this couple should not be married. It wasn't anybody. If anyone, it's any man.
Yeah.
So the women are like going, what if I don't like it?
Okay.
So it was any man. Just showing the time, day of the
okay.
Time. I'm just saying it was wrong. I'm just saying that's how it was. Robert tells Cora she's doing a great job at the hospital.
I know. That was I love that.
Golly gully gun drops.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I think he kind of validated her. And, like she said, if you mean it, then yes, I'll take it.
Yeah. Daisy tells Andy, I'm moving into the farm with Mr. Mason.
And then there's some other things I'm going to tell you about, too. So you know they're going to hook up.
Yeah, they're going to hook up, yeah. Oh, but we don't know that Laura and
Tom
are hooking up.
No.
Carson's trying to pour the champagne. He gets angry, frustrated. Yes. Can't pour the champagne. Thomas steps in. I'll take over, Mr.
Right,
Coulson.
And then you figure everything out.
Because first Henry says he's going to take over. Look, Henry, you're not supposed to be doing this. You go stare off in the space somewhere. Because people be wanting champagne. Henry be like this.
He's staring off the space for those of you who are listening.
So can I get some champagne?
Staring off in space. Okay, anyway.
And Robert knows the answer. Thomas will be the butler. And Carson will be the overseer. He'll be in charge. And
everything works out.
Well, that worked out fine. And Thomas accepts. And Mr. Carson did walk away a little dejected.
Yeah, I guess
A little sad.
I think when your time comes like that, it is a little sad. When the younger people start to come in, you realize your time is up.
And even Mrs. Hughes looked at him, kind of sad. But then Anna's upstairs in Mary's room, and her water breaks. And then I thought it was funny because now Mary is taking the clothes off Anna.
Yeah, I thought it was a good scene. You got to see the relationship between Anna and Mary. And you could see that side of Mary that you don't always get to see. Like, you know, when both Matthew and
Henry
say, you know, there's this Mary or my Mary. And again, you got to see that. I thought it was awesome.
Mary is undressing Anna. Henry is trying to find Mr. Bates.
Yep.
Hey, Mr. Bates. And they run upstairs. And, of course, Carson's like, she's going to have the baby in
Lady Mary's room.
So Carson is the biggest snob on this show.
Yes.
Completely the biggest snob on this show. But I thought it was funny because he's like, and Mrs. Hughes, it happens.
Yes.
Relax.
Get over it.
Get over it. Violet tells Spratt that his future shall come to Violet tells Spratt that in the future she'll come to him.
When she needs advice on some about clothes.
And Danker's just looking like, I guess you're
I love when she's like
your
that.
Your plan did not work.
Yep.
Ooh,
are you?
Shrimpy gives the toast.
Yes.
Had to give him something to do. Mr. Mason hopes to see more Mrs. Petmore in the future.
That was cute.
Oh, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Laura and Tom are talking again.
Oh, so what?
Baxter tells the cool kids what's going on, that they're leaving. Hey, we got to rush out there and see them. They all run out there. I like the way Mrs. Petmore ran. It was kind of funny.
I know.
Edith is
so happy.
Are going. She throws the bouquet, and Laura catches it, and Tom says, all right.
But even though I didn't like Edith in some parts, but she was, you know, the poor mothers that she gave the child to them, took them, you know, they were taken away and so forth. So I was happy to see her have her happy ending.
Yeah. Robert talks with Carson. Robert tells Carson that he's very grateful for everything they've done. You've kept, it was a very nice scene because he was showing his respect for Carson. Carson really was really the backbone behind the Abbey as far as the prim and proper things. Anna and Bates have a baby boy. Bates is very proud. Anna calls him John.
It was nice to see those two guys get happy endings.
Finally a happy ending.
Mr. Sexy Bates.
Robert and Cora talk about their good fortune. Yes. I think they're summing up the series as they're walking down the hallway. That's the impression I get.
I would agree with you.
So they're summing up, and it's like, you know, they're proud. They're proud of everything they've done. You know, Edith got married. Happy ending here. Happy marriage. Blah, 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 blah. Bing, 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 bing.
Kind of like what we did when our daughter got married and the next one got engaged. You're like, okay, we didn't do too bad.
And then Violet and Cora have a nice scene.
Yes, I agree.
It's your kingdom now.
Yeah.
And it was a great scene. Yep. And it basically passing the baton. You know, there's no hatred there. Happy New Year. Mrs. Hughes calls Carson Charlie.
Yes, and he calls her Elsa.
Elsa, which was nice. And they all start singing because that's what we all do. We start singing.
And then the final scene was Violet and...
I don't think I'm there yet. Okay. Violet and Isabel talk.
And they had the final scene together.
The final scene, and they're talking about how the past was and how the future is better.
But Violet still liked the past.
Past, and, of course, Isabel is more happy
open
about
to future.
The future. And the last shot is a great shot of the Abbey in the snow,
yep.
And they pan away. And that is the final scene of Downton Abbey, the TV show.
Yes.
And it was a 40, almost a 50-minute recap. And almost did it flawlessly.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Only had a few places where I couldn't read my
writing.
Okay. Like 12, 13 pages.
All right. Well, let's hear the calls.
But, what are your thoughts? You want to wait till
I have
the calls?
I want to hear the calls and see what they say, and then I'll give my thoughts.
Hold on a second.
Hey, Jack and Cindy. This is Carrie calling. I can't believe how long I've been listening to podcast by Jay and Jack, and now Jack and Cindy. And I've never called before, but I thought I'd give you a call on Downton Abbey and just give you some of my thoughts. Hopefully, we get a lot of feedback on this episode. I thought the finale was really good. It really wrapped everything up into a nice bow, pretty much for everybody, which I guess for Downton Abbey, that's probably what was expected and a good thing. I'm most happy for Edith. I thought she looked absolutely beautiful on her wedding day and so just happy. And I kind of felt like Robert, his giddy happiness for her. Like she just, after everything she's gone through, she deserves it. So I'm happy that that Mary actually stepped up and did something to help make her wrong a right. So that was nice to see. Daisy, Mrs. Patmore was so right about Daisy. She only seemed to like people once they didn't like her anymore. And so I don't know. I'm not sure if she has much of a chance with Andy, but I guess we'll just have to decide for ourselves if we think that worked out or not. It was lovely to see Thomas's situation turn out the way it did. I mean, I think he's probably the only person that didn't get paired up with somebody, and that's for obvious reasons for the times. But I really thought it was nice how he got to come back to Downton and be a butler. And, you know, I think he really realized after the suicide attempt that he really did have friends. I mean, Baxter in particular. I mean, she ran all the way back there to save him. And I think that finally showed him that he was, you know, cared for and, you know, people did like him, at least on some level. And, you know, so it's nice to see that turn out the way it did. And Robert finally accepting Cora's position was very nice. I wonder if really in 1925 women would be as empowered as they were on Downton Abbey, but I'd like to think that that they might have been. So anyway, that's my thoughts. I think it was a great episode. I'm going to miss it a lot. I'm going to miss your podcast. And anyway, thanks for everything and look forward to hearing the podcast. All right, bye.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for the call.
Very good, Carrie. I liked what you had to say.
What do you think about in 1925, would women have been that?
I didn't even think of that way until she brought it up. I think that you're right. I wonder if they would have been that. But, you know, you think about it. There were doctors then. There were women doctors. There were, women lawyers. There were women, not, you know, maybe one or two in fields that were mostly
right.
Men. So, you never know. I mean, the guy that did most of the writing and the producer of the show really said that he
– Julian Fellows?
Yeah, he really worked
researched it, make sure
all this stuff was true. And, you know, he did talk about that some of the characters or some of the people in his family that he wrote the characters about, that some way like Violet was a great aunt of his or something
right.
like that. So I would believe that he would try to make it as true as possible. So, you know, I don't know. Isn't Europe a little more ahead of the times than America was back then, even now sometimes? Because aren't like drugs like that – like better there
well,
until they finally get over here. And
you mean as far as prescription
like prescription
drugs?
some of the things, it depends you know, I don't know. Anyway, they were established before America was established, right?
Yeah,
England
but,
and everything,
you know.
But anyway, I think they still had some of those things. There was some powerful stuff there, especially maybe the upper class. I would say that below, no absolutely not.
No, because even the men didn't have a lot of power.
Right I think when I watched it the first time, the very first time I watched it on my cheat sheet on Christmas Day on my cheat station, I wasn't pleased with the ending.
Really?
Mm-mm. I was like, really? Everything's going to be all tied up in a bow? That's not how I want things.
Well, they didn't – well, I'll talk about it now. They didn't take any chances. But
no.
To me, it wasn't far – only the one that was far-fetched was Spratt. That was – but, you know, did it bother me? Was it, oh, my God, this is terrible? Like – they did wrap it up in a big giant bow, like
yes.
Carrie said. It was like, but to me, I was fine. Not everything has to be Sopranos or.
No, you're right.
Sometimes shows take a, you know, I'll
too extreme.
I don't want to spoil anyone, but Dexter's finale terrible. Nurse Jackie, I was a favorite of the
show.
Oh
yeah, I was too.
It was
didn't like
the finale
at all.
Terrible. I mean,
I wouldn't put it in line of those finales.
But,
absolutely
you know,
not.
Watch the show because sometimes a show will take a chance on a finale, and this one had, you know. You had to wrap it. It was a show, a feel-good show, and you did root for certain characters.
Yeah, because originally it was just going to be like a little series. It wasn't going
right.
to be a
so
show.
I think it ended.
A miniseries.
It ended, as far as I'm concerned, it ended perfectly. It didn't take any chances, but I was happy with the ending.
When I watched it again for the second, third, fourth, and fifth time, and then watched it with you.
Because in life, is everyone going to be happy?
No.
No. But
as I watched it each time, it made me happier.
Right. So there
than from the first time.
And Carrie, you can call more than once in 10 years.
Whatever.
Okay.
You did great, Carrie. Don't only call when I'm...
She said, I've never called before. I'm just saying.
Well, because you know what? She wanted to hear a girl's voice for a
change. Okay, all right. Well, Jay's been on the show many times. All right, guys. That's an old joke anyway. All right, bye. Not bye.
No, not bye. Here's the next caller.
Hey, Lady Cynthia and Lord Jack. This is Maggie calling from Northern Virginia. I was calling because I wanted to make sure you guys and everybody else listening knew about the other Downton Abbey podcast, which is only slightly better than yours, only because they have interviews with the cast and the crew and people that make the show. So, but the Masterpiece Studio podcast has been doing a lot of stuff on Downton Abbey. There's been a lot of cool behind-the-scenes stories and stuff. So I just wanted to make sure, as it, you know, people know about that as we mourn the loss of Downton, which is coming very soon. No, it's not. I'm in denial. Okay, I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Well, as long as it's only slightly better.
No, but she, I think it's Maggie messaged me about this, and I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I love the stuff that they have it behind the scenes.
Right.
Because when you buy the some of the
iTunes
ones, they have some of the behind the scenes. Remember, we watched some of them, and they were it was interesting because you got to understand the characters, understand what they were going for, how they did this and that. So I'm looking forward to listening to that in the future.
Again, if you can get cast members to be on the podcast, it's I can speak. It's a huge thing. It's a big deal.
I wouldn't be able to talk to someone if whoever got somebody from Downton Abbey. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'd be like a fanboy or fangirl.
You talk nonstop to people all the time.
It's different.
Is it different?
Yeah.
You've talked to famous people before. Used to wait on Chad Everett.
It was different. I was like, at that time, I worked at McDonald's. When you're 16, 17, you don't know anything.
Was the guy that used to be on Police Woman?
No, he loved me.
Yeah.
He said I was going to go places. What was his name?
He was the head guy in Police. What was his name? I know his name. But
I one time sat outside. Was my McDonald's that I worked at was right by the studios.
He come up, supersize it.
No, anyway, so I can't remember which studio it was because, unfortunately, I blocked out a lot of things back then, those years in my life. 76, 77, 78. But anyway, one time I had
Did you block it out, or was it a reason? Were you taking something?
No. Okay. I never took anything. I was so naive and so gullible then. But anyway, so I one time took my lunch with him, and he was with fellow actors. And I remember him sitting around telling the fellow actors about this and that about me. Not that I want to brag about myself. But anyways, he was a neat man. So yeah, those were all different. When I met, I met a lot of actors before I even dated you. It was a different thing. When you're, you know, young and naive and, you know, silly, you don't realize things. But as you get older, you're...
Earl Holman.
Yeah, Earl Holman. Very nice man. God rest his soul. I think he died. But anyway, but I, you know, so I don't think I could do it now because I'm older and know more.
So you'd be more conscientious of
yes,
what's going on?
Situation, yes. Back then, you're just naive and stupid. You don't know anything.
I know when I first met, and not to brag, but I met Eric, when I met Eric Lane, Eric Lane played Rosinski on Lost. He always seems to play a bad guy. I was literally afraid to talk to him because you think of him as a bad guy. He's like the nicest guy.
But you like that kind of character anyway, so I think you would have been just nervous about talking to us because when you like those kind of characters that have some kind of issues.
Yeah, but he's just – he always seems to play a mean
I know, but
guy.
You like, but you like those kind of characters.
But that's, that's how good an actor
is. You don't like a sappy character.
No.
You like those kind that you have to really think about what's really going on behind their – you know, in their head, where are they going.
Why is that moss still on the stairs? Can we just power wash it?
Anyway, just little things like that. So I can see why he would make you – I'm not saying you weren't nervous when you talked to Jorge, but I could see this guy would make you a little more than Jorge.
And even Michael Emerson.
I can see that
thing.
Too.
It was like, because you're thinking, okay, this is Ben.
He's
like funny,
jolly
guy. All right, guys, next call.
Hey, Lady Cynthia and Lord Jack. This is Maggie calling because I've watched the last episode of Downton. I'm in denial. No, it's just a beautiful ending. It's really happy. Everybody gets a pretty much happy ending. It's opening. There's some openings for some stuff in the future. Mrs. Padmore, Mr. Mason, Andy and Daisy and Tom and the editor lady. Not on a walk if you're hearing all the car noises, which is – so I like that. I made a joke during the wedding when the priest said, you know, speak now, forever hold your peace. I'm like, and Michael Gregson walks in. If it wasn't the last episode – in the final episode, that could have happened to be more dramatic. I just Like I said, I'm in total denial that it's over. I totally think you guys should go back and start from season one with Downton. I am totally on board for that. I'm not ready to let it go because it's just amazing. And I had a thought, I was listening to the Masterpiece Studio podcast, and somebody said it kind of, and I had a thought that thought too. But George, or Thomas is going to be George's Carson. When George is running the house, he's going to feel the same way about Carson, or about Thomas as Mary feels about Carson, which is just kind of touching, and I love it. The only other thing that I really want to know is, what did Anna and John Bates name the baby? I'm pretty sure it's John, but still, they didn't give the baby a name. It drives me crazy. So, yes, Downton is over. I will miss it very much. I was watching a video of all of Violet's insults to people, which was amazing. Some of them I remembered, some of them I did not. Like I said, going to go back and watch it. So thanks, guys, for the podcast, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Mac. Thank you for the call, Maggie. I forgot they didn't
name the baby.
But I do have the
answer. Good point. What?
I forgot they put it on Twitter. The name is Thomas.
Jack Laffelter.
They didn't name the baby.
Well, she agreed with some of your things. You know, she talked about the, you know, George being Tom. Tom will be George's guy,
right?
And
yeah.
Then, but you wouldn't. I think that would have been be a great spinoff. Back with a doubt. Now George is in charge of the situation,
of the Abbey?
And then you see Thomas as the butler and that whole generation. Because you figured it would be at least 20 years from now.
I'm going to say it ended on a good note. Let it go.
Okay. I'm trying to keep going.
I know you're trying.
They said they would. This is the one too. They said they were going to make a movie out of it. No.
No, I don't.
No, they're done.
I think they're done.
Well, he's coming over here and did something over here.
He's doing something
yeah.
in New York, right?
But yeah, I'm in denial about of it being done too, Maggie. I'm with you.
If I wouldn't have already, you know, going back and doing a rewatch and doing a podcast on that, if I already hadn't agreed to do Dancing with the Stars.
I know.
So
I'm
close.
So excited for that.
So close, because but I think what you said about Michael Grayson walking in. Now, that would have been an ending.
Yes.
A cliffhanger. Just like, that's how you end it.
Yes.
I'm alive. Ian.
Yes. Yes.
And that's how they end the show.
Yeah.
Would you guys have been happy with that?
No, we would have wanted more.
But they just ended that way.
Yeah, I know. That would have been horrible. I would not have been happy.
Yeah. I thought that would have been great.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about that.
Good idea, Maggie.
Anyway, we have one last call. I thought we had five, but we only had four. I played a call
that
didn't belong to us. So, anyway, next call.
Hi, Jack and Cindy. This is Sarah calling to discuss the Downton Abbey series finale. I liked it a lot. It was really sweet, and I'm so happy that things ended well for everyone. I can't say it was the greatest episode ever because it was a fitting ending, and I enjoyed it from start to finish, except for any scene with Daisy. Just as I was about to like her again, she went back to being obnoxiously annoying. I'm just glad that Mrs. Patmore understands her and can call her out on her bad behavior. Man, she just really drives me nuts. I think she kind of deserved that bad haircut, but that's another story. I started to put the pieces together that Barrow would come back and replace Carson from the first scene that he was in the new house. Just from how he seemed so lonely, I thought, well, they're going to bring him back somehow. And I liked that he finally seems to be changing and growing and working on getting back his one reputation, as Cindy would say. I think they really did a good job with him. I had totally forgotten that Daisy ever had a crush on him, though, so I thought it was funny when they said that, how she was once soft on him. I'm so happy that Edith and Bertie got married, that she ended up happy, and that no one walked out on her at the wedding. And did they say the name of Anna and Bates' baby? So I missed it. I'm not sure if they gave it a name or not. Okay, so last thoughts. I loved watching Downton Abbey, and I'll really miss it, but I definitely think I'll miss hearing you guys talk about it more, knowing that you would be discussing it each week and that I could call in with my thoughts made it so much more fun. Same thing with Lost. Whenever I knew I could call you guys or hear what you had to say, it just makes watching this show that much more fun. I enjoy how you guys talk to each other. I always wish I could be there sitting with you so I could interject when you guys are having your little arguments that aren't really arguments. and if you thought Jack is Janet Cindy, I'd love for you two to do another podcast over the shows you mentioned, either Mr. Selfridge or Call the Midwives. Or there's one I came across that looked pretty interesting called The Paradise. or also North and South looks interesting. And for sure, you guys need a podcast about the Winter Olympics in a couple of years, especially the ice skating and ice dancing parts. Okay, thanks again, guys. Can't wait to hear what you think. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call.
I'm going to miss Sarah, too, because I enjoyed her calls because they were very similar to what, you know, I was thinking about. The only thing I'm going to say
likes the fact that when you're arguing, you admit you're wrong.
Whatever. But the part I really loved is I'm going to sum up Daisy because I know everybody misunderstands her. When she said Sarah, you know, Miss Patmore really understands her. She's like her mother. A mother can call out their own kids on their own mistakes. Nobody else can, but a mother can.
And Daisy respects Mrs. Patmore enough to listen.
Yes. You know, because you could put her.
Well, she's old enough, because if she was a teenager, Daisy would be like.
Right. And just like my daughters are now 26 and 24, you know, they're quick to put me back in my place because they love me enough. With their words, are they might sound mean, not mean, but they might sound like, ooh, maybe I should say that.
Well, you gave your kids the right to speak back.
It's important. I think as women in the world, I think it's important that we have a voice. Unfortunately, everybody's respectful as you are to women. And I think when you're raising a woman, it's very important that they learn to have a voice. And you have to. It's a very fine line you walk on because you want them to speak up. But there are times as they're growing into adult women that they don't know how to speak up in a respectful way. So you kind of let them go. And then you got to take, just like a fish, like when you're fishing, you got to reel that back in and let them know, all right, now you've gone overboard. But I think it's important for women to have a voice. I think if we don't teach them that, I just think there's a lot of issues in that area, and we're not going off subject.
Well, no, it's fine. She mentioned several podcasts. You do watch Mr. Selfridge. I watch about half of them. Call the Midwife, I've watched about half of them.
The Call of the Midwife is just so fascinating about
it
back then.
I do like Call the Midwife because every time the one nun's on there, she was Jessica in Logan's Run. I always go, she was Jessica in Logan's Run. Well, every single time.
I know, but what I love about it is just the way.
Jessica.
You know, as when our son had his child, how much things had changed in the 30 years since.
Well, they did it. They had it in a hospital.
What is that? But, you know, like she wasn't allowed to eat deli meat when she was pregnant. That wasn't a case when I was pregnant. You know, the last one being. You know, 23 years ago.
25 years ago.
Anyway, so that was interesting. Like, when back then you saw women, you know, smoking, you saw them drinking, you
saw
them. They
leave their babies on the street.
Yeah, they left them on the street. You saw them taking sleeping pills for nausea. You saw them taking, you know.
I'm sorry, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Call the Midwife.
Well, anyway, so. One of our youngest just walked in. But again, it's
the
just
youngest.
It's you really see, you know, all those things. But Sarah, I'm going to miss listening to her because I think she had some. I think we have a lot of similarities.
Well, maybe she watches Dancing with the Stars, so.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun with that.
Dun.
Yes, our youngest doesn't understand boundaries. Yes, maybe I shouldn't have given her the freedom to talk.
I've said it many, many, many.
What did you want to add about?
There's different shows.
And we didn't know the name of the baby, but I think you're right. I think they probably would have called it John.
You think so?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with what Maggie said.
John Jr.?
John Jr. Because it wasn't that very popular then to call them by their child's.
I'm named after
maybe
my
not,
dad.
Because British was a little different. I don't know.
I'm not.
Yeah, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I should know, being as British as I am.
Yes, as British as you are, yes.
And you're not.
But hopefully you'll watch Dancing with the Stars. And we are thinking of a couple other things we want to do because we do have fun talking to each other. And
well, let's don't go crazy. Fun, really fun. Happy fun.
It's a blasty blast.
It's a blasty blast. Goody gumdrops. All right. We have an email.
Okay.
Let's get to the email. All right. This email is, and I'm going to check one more time, see if we have one more phone call, because I thought we had five, but I could have miscounted that one. Hi, Lady Cynthia and Lord Jack. I have 25 minutes left of the final Downton Abbey episode and have already sobbed several times.
Me too.
This episode has been, I didn't sob, but I was.
I got a little emotional about when I watched it the first couple times without you.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I just thought it was. I just was. You know, well, I'm a man.
It's being able to cheat and see it when nobody else was seeing it. Those kind of little things. It's just little things. I know. I don't have much.
Okay. So it has been everything I wanted to be, and then some. I'm not sure when you were recording, and I'm not going to be able to watch the last 25 minutes until tomorrow. So I'm sending you my feedback now. Actually, I wanted to say thank you for making this show even more fun to watch. Love listening to your podcast, and Bates will always be sexy Bates because of it, and don't even get me started on Jack imitating Sprat.
I agree.
I don't know what I'll do without Downton in my life. There will definitely be a rewatch soon. Thanks for all the fun. Looking forward to more podcasts with the two of you. I'm watching The Amazing Race just because of you guys, and aww. I don't think I can handle Dancing with the Stars. I don't think I can handle dance with Laura San Diego, stuck in Maryland.
Ah.
So yeah, we're stuck here in
yes.
Raleigh. I hate to say that, stuck, because Jay always gets Raleigh's fine. When he
well,
hated
I think
Raleigh.
When he first got here, but you have to understand where his situation was. He was a senior in his high school. He had a lot of friends, and we brought him here.
Lot of friends?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Is two a lot?
He had a lot of friends, more than two. Anyway, so you
could, you said about playing poker, I go, I don't have I invited the people, all the three people I know.
Well, you have three more than I have. I don't have any friends here that I would do something with. And that's my choice. Has
that's
nothing
your
to do with
choice
any, yeah, because I was so busy being a mother and putting all my life into them.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was.
That's what it was.
Whatever. Anyway, but yeah, I think I was a little emotional too, and I'm gonna miss it. And
you have a special thanks for me, don't you? I'm the one that kept begging you to watch the show.
Don't I tell you thank you enough
first
for
I
all
heard,
the things
for,
you do?
First, I heard from Ryan and Jen. Ryan and Jen liked it, and I said you got. I started watching. I go, you know, you like the show.
But what is the scenario of us for 30 years? When you tell me to do something, I don't like to be told what to do. You know that, and I know that. So what you got to tell me is I'm not going to like it, and then I'll watch it. Don't you know how to do reverse psychology?
Yeah.
Are you ignoring me again?
No, let me go look for this email. Hold on. No, that was it. The other call was from JP, and JP had nothing to do. It was about Mr. Robot and not about
That's okay.
Downton Abbey.
I'm thankful for the phone calls we did get.
That was
the emails
fun.
That we received.
This is, I think, the longest podcast we've ever done.
Really?
It's an hour and 11 minutes.
Well, I'm going to sum up Downton Abbey.
All right. Summing up
I'm going to sum up the whole thing.
Dun, dun, dun,
the
dun.
Season final of this episode 6, I would agree. I think it was Sarah or Maggie. I can't remember who or Carrie said. It wasn't wasn't my favorite. I think it was Sarah.
Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It wasn't my favorite. I'm still going to stick with episode 2 where he asked her to marry her, Matthew, to marry.
Of course I'll marry you. It's in the script.
But I still... These 6 seasons have just been so much fun. I got to fantasize, think what it would be like. I got to go. And
you went to London
because of
Downton Abbey.
And I was, what, maybe a mile from it? I have a picture of me with the castle background.
I don't know if it was that far because that driver was incredibly brave.
Yes,
he
was.
If it had been America, we would have got shot.
And I'm still looking. I look every year.
We'd have been on TMZ getting beaten.
Yes, but twice a year they open up the Abbey they don't call that Highcliffe. To go
I'm calling it the Abbey.
Okay. You could go do tours or you could have tea and they do like a big Christmas special.
If we got invited there, I would go there and have a cup of tea in front of me.
Okay. And I have filled out sweepstakes or entries to try to win to go through World Market. And they are putting a hotel next to the Abbey where you can eventually...
Now, is the hotel going to look modernized? It's going to look...
No.
It's not. Okay.
And it's kind of like a bed and breakfast. So...
Because, when we're in Washington, I hate... You have the classic, 1700 buildings, and they have this new building right next to it.
I agree with you.
Come on. At least have it look the same.
I understand. But anyway, so I'm
take that.
Yes, absolutely. I love the clothes. I love the dresses. I love the whole...
But didn't they say... Or we heard a few years ago that they didn't like the clothes because they're hot and smelly.
But I said I like the styles that they wore.
You like that you're a big, but you don't wear hats. But you like the hats.
I can't wear a hat. Our daughter Heather can wear a hat. She looks fabulous in a hat. I've tried wearing hats. If I could wear a hat and get away with it, I would do it.
I wear
hats.
I'm fabulous in hats.
You do look good in hats, but I'm not. I would totally wear hats, but I just don't. You have to have a certain face to wear a hat, or I may not be wearing the right hat.
That could be it.
I mean, I can't even wear a baseball cap. You know how cute the girls look so cute when they have the baseball cap and they have the ponytail out through the little hole in the back. I don't even look cute in that. It just has to be a certain thing. I think my best features are my eyes, so I think when you can't see them, it takes it away.
Takes it away.
Yes. Anyway, so I'm going to miss it all very, very much, and I'm going to miss talking to you, but we've got other fun things, and I'm glad you talked me into podcasting. I was a little bit afraid to do this show because this is my favorite show, and you can sometimes be a little condescending.
Me?
Yes. I know. It's a shocker.
Condescending how?
You can sometimes ruin it by your comments. Or theories, or your little judgmental stuff. So I didn't want to have.
So I killed the following for you, Guantanamo.
Yeah, you. No, it's not Guantanamo. It's
Gitmo.
No, it's Quantico.
Quantico. Sorry,
you made me even forget what the name was.
They moved it to Cuba.
And when I watched the Blind Spot, is that what it is?
No, I like Blind Spot. No, it's No, Blindspot had some problems.
No, you hate it all.
No, I didn't hate it. There's just
you make your little comments.
I don't like when they make these FBI because it takes you to get in the FBI.
It is difficult.
It is difficult. Yes. They just don't take anybody.
You're right.
And so when they make these people look like morons, like I could go there and be an FBI
agent.
Okay,
couldn't they just be making them look like they're perfect?
Okay, I can get everyone makes mistakes.
Okay, I agree with you. But look, when you're watching a show, you're just watching it just to escape whatever you had going on that day.
I'm a podcaster. My job is to criticize, and as a fellow writer, if I see something that's lazy writing, I'm going to call it out.
Anyway, I'm glad it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be podcasting with you, and I thank you, Jack Laffelter.
Oh, you're welcome.
I thank you putting up with me, because I know I'm not as perfect as you and Jay, but I've had a blasty blast.
Blasty blast.
And
it has been a lot of fun.
And my dream is to stay at the Bed and Breakfast. At the Downton.
Well, yes. Maybe someday you'll...
Oh, it's going to happen. You know me. I don't take no for an answer.
No, you don't.
I always push.
I told you no several times, and I eventually said, okay, fine. Let's get married.
You
fine.
You know you wouldn't be where you are today without me. And I wouldn't be where I am without you. So boo-hoo-hoo. Then what would you like to say now? I'll let you talk.
Thanks for working with me.
Fist bump.
No, it's been a lot of fun. I didn't think... I'll be honest with you, I didn't think you'd stick it out. Yeah, because sometimes you get bored with things.
I do get bored very easily. I have a short attention span.
Yeah, but
I'm surprised I'm still with you 30 years.
It's true.
But you always keep me guessing.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was like I think we come from it two different angles. I come from it more like, you know,
more
nitpicking, stuff like that. Where you look for the love stories and everything's fine.
Because you know me, I'm all about romance.
But you were critical of some.
So why I picked you?
Exactly. There were some things you were very critical of, and some things you. I was crazy.
Still don't like the whole Edith thing. That still will always bug me.
Yeah, Edith is, she's, you know.
That's one of the reasons why I never wanted to adopt was that, because I wouldn't want that child taken away from me. Because, you know, sometimes it does happen.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sad to see it go, but it's 6 years. I'm kind of to the point now, I hate to see shows linger, go too long, and I think it's the right time to go. I think they wrapped it up, did a great job. Again, took no chances. That would have been funny, though, Maggie said Michael Grayson would have showed up.
No, that would have been hilarious.
Showed up and said, Edith, I still love you.
Where's
our daughter?
I think she would have gone back with him, don't you think?
I don't know. It would have been fun. And Mary goes, now she has to choose between two men. And Carson goes,
Yes.
Carson would be more upset than anybody.
Yeah,
think actually they should have just done it as a joke and released it as a joke.
Oh, that would have been funny. What ending would you like?
Yeah.
You know, they do that sometimes.
JR was shot.
Yeah, they did that in the show Alabama, I think, with Reese Witherspoon. They did two different endings. Yeah, so when you saw the DVD, they had two different endings. It's interesting.
Did it even have a beginning?
Again, you didn't like that kind of romance.
No, but when JR was shot, they had every cast member pull the trigger in the scene, and they even had, what's his name? Guy played JR. I'm drawing a blank on his name. How is this even possible? Anyway, they even had him do it.
Oh.
And he kind of gives this look like, this isn't possible. But that's what they did because they were so worried. It was like the biggest cliffhanger of all time. They were so worried. But they could have had that. Maggie should have called him and had him do that.
Should have.
You blew it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, that's our podcast. That's it. Dancing with the Stars will start in
March 21st.
We'll do the best we can on that one. We'll give our... different.
You're going to be okay with me drooling over the men.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
I'll give you permission to drool over the women.
Thank you. Because, you know, I have that dancing body. All right, guys. That's it for the day. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us all this time. And we'd like to thank a special couple special patrons. God, you think I could get it right once?
Just one time, baby.
Tack from Tokyo and Eckhart Richner Glaffler. Thanks for doing what you do. That's it. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.